Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Atlanta. Mike Bobo is still the offensive coordinator.
That's
it
not
is
right.
Dukes and Bell. We start every hour of every show with a big hearty.
Hey, man.
We're live at Twin Peaks here in Buckhead. We got some dudes hanging out, sucking down some suds. We got great-looking ladies in lumberjack outfits that want to meet you. And, yeah, man, if you missed the story, we'll talk more about it coming up as part of our strong arm story, Carl, if you like, about what's going on with Georgia. What isn't going on with Georgia? When is the story not a story that's a story?
It's a good question. It's not a story when the story apparently is not a story.
A certain former quarterback of Georgia that will remain nameless put it out earlier today that Mike Bobo was having some health issues and was going to be stepping down as OC. And then we spoke to Rusty Manziel from Dogs HQ.
Yeah.
And subsequent reports also backing up what Rusty had to say, that that's an erroneous report that Mike Bobo is actually down in South Florida recruiting. Because as Carl pointed out last hour, he's one of the best recruiters in college football. You may disagree with the game strategy, but he certainly can bring in the horses. But that's a story that's a non-starter, and a lot of folks were confused by that. We want to set the record straight to start the 5 o'clock hour for folks that were in their car.
Oh, I can't hear you, Turtle.
Sorry, Chris. Sorry. Oh, once again, they've conspired to keep Chris off the air, Carl.
Oh, these microphones, you know, mysteriously don't work at times.
Whether we're live in studio. Chris?
No, I was just going to say there's an important detail, Mike, that you forgot conveniently for our buddy Carl here. Not only was Mike Bobo recruiting in Florida, he was recruiting away a Texas recruit.
Yeah.
Quarterback.
Yeah,
for quarterback. That matter.
Yeah. Pretty good quarterback, by the way. Yeah, you can never have enough quarterbacks. That's all. That's all I'm saying. No, listen, and listen, we'll talk more about it to Mike's point as we get through the hour here. But I know we've all discussed the issues with Georgia's offense this year. And I just think there were a multitude of things. I do not think that Bobo is the issue. Mm-hmm. But I'm just glad to hear, like, there's not a health issue. And that, to me, was the part. That's the issue.
Right.
Like, guys step away, you know, all the time. But when you start talking about somebody's health, man, that was a concerning thing. But that's good to hear.
But, again, we talked with Rusty Manziel, and I was asking questions about, you know, the offensive line. Things. We'll get more into this also when we talk college football and preview the Natty coming up on Monday between the Buckeyes and the Irish. Because things that Georgia were calling cards, girl, you know, hallmarks, strong in the trenches, great defense, great offensive line, putting guys in the first round of the NFL, that's not happening this year, and that's why Georgia's watching this championship game on Monday. More on that coming up at 5:20 in the Strong Arm Story brought to you by John Foy. Falcons still looking for DCs, and apparently, Carl, the net is it's a wide cast, and that's fine. I mean, you can't do anything just yet other than maybe block somebody from hiring a guy you're interested in, as eventually coaches will get hired in this process for the openings around the NFL, whether it's the Jets or the Jaguars, the Bears, etc., Cowboys too. But one story we have is the Falcons interviewed Grady Brown, defensive coordinator opening. He is a Steelers secondary coach, and as Chris pointed out last hour, apparently his input in the secondary apparently helped them exponentially in Pittsburgh.
Well, listen, I think you're bringing in, and I don't have any issues with this, you bring in all these different guys who've impacted different organizations around the NFL, see what they maybe can add or what they tell you. Right. Had a guy hit us up. He's a loyal listener. His name's Chris Martin. No, not that Chris Martin. But he said, fellas, you know, you're talking about these interviews. What are they doing them? And I just hit him back on social media and said, listen, these interviews are in depth. This is not a, hey, how you doing? How's the wife? Okay, we'll call you. These interviews can go on hours, sometimes days. Okay, the Belichick thing was it was days. It's 2-3 interviews. So there's
one of those occurred on Arthur's yacht.
That's right. Yeah. So all these things might come out, and a lot of it is exactly what you think it is. What's your plan? What happened to you last time you got fired? Why'd you get fired? Who's your staff? What kind of players do you like? You name it, because you're trying to gather all this information. And if you're saying, well, they don't know all this stuff about these guys, it's not that. I'm not paying you $5 or $8 million if I can't talk to you face to face and you sell me on how you're going to change my franchise.
Well, one thing for certain, guys, with all the job interviews that go down, it's a great question that our listener asked us on Twitter. We don't say X. Whatever goes on in these interviews, 90% of NFL owners get it wrong, because otherwise guys would keep their jobs. So it's funny, you and I, a guy said, what goes on in these meetings? I said, well, whatever Eric Bieniemy did, it's wrong, because he couldn't get hired to save his life. And we talked about certain guys, and it's amazing. I'll be interested to see if he was considered to be aggressive and old school kind of guy. And in an era we live now, guys are reading books during, you know, when they're on the sideline, A.J. Brown. And we know that this is a softer generation, Anthony Richardson tapping out. It just is what it is. You know, it's just a different vibe. But I do wonder if Brian Flores and the things that came out about what Tua Tagovailoa had said preseason, is that maybe something that if you're the Bears, and God knows how the Bears think, because they're a train wreck too, but do the Bears say, you know, he's a little hard on Tua. I don't know if that's the right temperament as we're trying to develop Caleb Williams. And by the way, with all due respect to Brian Flores, if I'm the Bears, I'm calling Ben Johnson and Ben Johnson only. I've got to get an offensive piece to go get my number one first overall pick fixed. This isn't Mitchell Trubisky. You know, this isn't, you know, you want to take it back to all the Bears' horrible decisions at quarterback. You've got to get this guy to look like Jaden Daniels, like, next day.
Yeah, Mike, I'll say this, too, about these owners over the years, and whether they get it wrong or guys ultimately are not the right guy. You go into these meetings, and sometimes these owners have tunnel vision.
Oh, yeah. It's a two-way street.
It is.
Yeah.
And for years, okay, because you didn't have people who didn't look like you or people who didn't think like you interviewing them, you had a vision of the kind of coach that you wanted, and that was the kind of guy you were going to hire. Now this is what the NFL is trying to do. Hey, talk to everybody. Let's see where this goes. Somebody might impress you. Guys, I got to tell you, and I've heard this from Mike Tomlin, nobody thought he was getting the job when the Steelers interviewed him. Nobody. And he went in there and blew the Roonies away, and he's been there 17 years. Now, we can talk about the latest playoff stuff, but the point is, that's part of it. The owners are like, this is the kind of guy I want. And all of a sudden, you meet a guy who blows you away, and you go, damn, he's really impressive, and I think he can do a great job.
Well, I'll take you back to, Dan Reeves gets fired in 2003. And this is the year that Mike Vick gets hurt, and some of these events were beyond his control. And remember, Arthur also inherited Dan Reeves.
He did.
And I still think that Dan Reeves could have done some things with Mike Vick had he been given the opportunity, and maybe things would have changed. It would have been different. Jim Mora Jr., the way it was reported to me, comes in and with a PowerPoint presentation, and he's slick. But, I mean, who was clamoring for Jim Mora Jr., the defensive coordinator for the 49ers team that wasn't doing anything back then? And he becomes our head coach. And he was considered a player's coach, and much was made of his vibe with some of the players. And at the end, it didn't pan out. Bobby Petrino on the other side. That was a Rich McKay hire. We bring in Bobby Petrino. Now, here's the thing. On paper, we're talking head coach, not, you know, assistants.
But, sure, sure.
But Bobby Petrino, in a perfect world, I remember on the radio me and Steak Shapiro talking about this, and I said, man, he's a great offensive coach. Whatever you think Petrino is or isn't, he is a really good offensive coach at Louisville.
And he has been.
And imagine him with Mike Vick and Roddy White and all the weapons we've got. This is going to be pretty exciting. And then we get here, of course, Bobby Petrino didn't sign on for Mike Vick going to Leavenworth.
Right.
You know, and Bobby Petrino had a charisma bypass at birth, and we later found out an ethics bypass. But it's all start to your point. How do these coaches and these general managers, the owners, get it wrong? It starts with this process. You know, did we get it wrong with Raheem Morris? Raheem Morris was maybe a safe, comfortable fit because of his experience here. But they talked out of the Belichick thing. Well, you know, these are all part of the conversation. Getting back to the D.C., Jimmy Lake was a bad hire. Call it what it was. Jimmy Lake was a bad hire. Now you've got to reboot. And I wonder, is the general manager more involved in this process than Terry?
So Falcons have just put out, they've interviewed Steve Wilks for their defensive coordinator.
That's what's coming up next week.
Apparently it just happened 10 minutes ago.
All right.
That they finished up, should I say, which is great. And I really like Steve Wilks, and I think he's a great candidate. But I don't know, Mike. I think when coaches feel like they know coaches, you have to trust their decision-making. And then when they get it wrong enough times, it costs them. That's the NFL. Like, you can tell me that the general manager doesn't have the coaching relationships with other coaches in the league like Raheem Morris. He's been doing this, you said it, 30, right. 25 years. They know everybody. They know who the up-and-coming guys are. They know who's hot. So you got to trust.
I think the reaction from around the league when Raheem got hired, everybody was so excited for him. He deserved a second chance. Okay.
But you got to trust, like, hey, okay, you know a guy. I'm going to trust you to go ahead and bring this guy in. If it doesn't work, you get a couple of those. But at some point, then it starts to turn on you. And so Raheem, you know, I don't think he was ever getting fired for making the choice for Jimmy Lake. It just was a bad look because of the way the season went.
Right. Now, again, you're going to bring in two guys who never done the job before at the NFL level. And you and I talked about this yesterday. I think we all assume Zach Robinson will be okay. Because based on the history with Rams assistants, generally they hit the ground running. Good things seem to happen. And we like the idea of, especially the fact at the time, Kirk Cousins was going to run the offense he ran with O'Connell that the Rams run in L.A. that Zach was going to then subsequently run here in Atlanta. But getting back to Steve Wilks, you and I went on a deep dive yesterday about the year of the Super Bowl and whether it was Bosa saying that they weren't really prepared for – I love that soundbite. We're really prepared for Mahomes' ability to – you weren't prepared for Mahomes' ability to scramble? Okay. I mean, maybe Bosa was in his bag. He didn't set the edge, you know, or contain, however you want to call it, with a mobile quarterback. But either way, I thought Steve Wilks' reputation is pretty solid around the league. I wouldn't have a problem with that. Dennis Allen interviewed with the Colts. I would like to see the Falcons talk to Dennis Allen.
I agree. Listen, and Mike, you said it. I mean, as a DC, he's solid. He takes over with the Saints. Okay, as the head coach.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, the Night Stalker. These names are infamous, but do you really know what drove them to kill?
In Mind of a Serial Killer, we don't just tell you the story. We break down the psychology behind it.
Follow and listen to Mind of a Serial Killer, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Not so much. But I don't think, again, go ask Sean Payton. I don't think anybody would tell you that Dennis Allen can't be a really good defensive coordinator. So I'm with you. I talked to all these guys, and a guy just asked me, Kevin was like, Duke, you think this is going to wrap up anytime soon? No. They're going to continue to talk to candidates, and then they're preparing their short list, and we probably won't get this, my guess is, Mike, until after the championship game. That's my guess.
Right.
That's where I think some of this may play out, and that all depends on if it's a guy that is not coaching, you know?
Right.
So there may be somebody you want to talk to that may still be, you know, involved in this stuff.
It could be somebody on the staff, to your point, on these teams that are still out there. Look, whoever comes in, it's a tough task.
It is.
I mean, this is not a good deal, guys, by any metric, any measurable. Second to last in the NFL in sacks. Linebacker core that doesn't seem to fit a 4-3 or a 3-4, if we're honest. Some aging pieces that you may have to move on for. We already talked yesterday about, look, Judon's gone, Simmons is gone. Maybe D. Alford comes back if he can't get traction. Some of these guys are going to explore free agency. You know, Mike Hughes. I think we got the secondary argument right this last summer. Remember we kept saying, what are you doing with the secondary?
Well, you know what? I thought it was going to be better, Mike, and we got two dudes. We got A.J. and Bates.
That's it?
Like, seriously. Now, you have obviously some rotational guys. I love Clark Phillips' attitude. It's too small, man.
Right.
Like, he has issues with bigger dudes, and we've seen that happen now in the NFL. In college, you can get away with some of that.
Right.
Not in this league. You can't put him out there against Mike Evans.
You're right. Hey, man, Dukes and Bell. This hour of the show brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. It's happy hour, man, now and every Monday through Friday, 3 to 6 at B-Dubs. We'll come back. The story we were starting the 5 o'clock hour talking about is really not a story, but it requires some clarification. When you hear about health concerns with an assistant coach at one of the top programs in the country, it's going to make some news. Until somebody walks it back. Coming up next on Dukes and Bell, live from Twin Peaks in Buckhead. A lot of stories about this year's Georgia Bulldogs. Why wasn't this team able to be in this game? If I had told you it's Ohio State and Notre Dame in the championship back in the summer, you'd have said, well, what the hell happened to Georgia?
Yeah.
Decimated with injuries? You know, did something happen to Carson Beck? Well, yes and no.
I mean, it's true.
Yeah, there were some things that happened between his ears, and later something happened to his arm. But at the end of the day, Georgia falls short. We talked about the trenches. We talked about assistant coaches. So when you hear a story, and it's not, what's a story? When something breaks and it drops and it gets juice on the internet about Mike Bobo potentially leaving the program because of health concerns, becomes a major story. And that's exactly what happened today. Buck Ballew earlier today stated that he had heard that Bobo was going to be stepping down for the health concerns. And then we later find out, after we reached out to Rusty Manziel, you'll hear what he had to say coming up here in a bit. And then subsequently other folks who cover the Dogs are saying, that's erroneous. Matter of fact, Rusty told us, and you'll hear, where exactly Mike Bobo was. And it was job-related. So that was one that is kind of strange. And even stranger, Buck then goes on social media and then says, I sure hope these rumors aren't accurate. Well, damn, son, you just perpetuated one of those rumors. So kind of strange. Strange day for Georgia fans and a slow news cycle otherwise, Carl.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Mike Bobo not leaving the program.
Well, and first of all, I'm happy about the fact that we aren't talking about what issues or health or those right. kinds of things. Because he did have some health issues when he went to Colorado State. People forget he left and then came back. For those who forget. Mike, to me, this is – and when I first heard about this today, when we got here, and I said, is this an attempt to get Bobo out of here? Because you just don't run with things like this
right.
unless you absolutely know.
You're creating a narrative which is going to get some momentum.
Correct.
True or false.
Correct. So when you start to say, hey, this is what's going on with him, because then it allows fans to start questioning decision-making and what's going on. Now, with all of that said, let's talk about the real elephant in the room. What was wrong with Georgia's offense? Because that's what people want to talk about, right? He's not going anywhere. We'll let you hear what Rusty said in just a minute to us, just, you know, a couple of hours ago to clarify things. But I think there were a multitude of things that were wrong with this offense. And one of them had to do with the fact that we forget for about, you know, 4 weeks or so, Carson Beck may have been the worst quarterback in the country. He was throwing interceptions. He was costing you possessions. He wasn't protecting the football. Then you couldn't effectively run the ball. And, oh, by the way, you had the most drops of anybody. Guys, that's not on Bobo. I don't care how of a genius play caller you are. Pick the best one you've ever heard of. If you've got those things going on, your offense is going to be stagnant. So I think, Mike, the blame, obviously, somebody has to take it.
Right.
But I also think, like, behind closed doors, I believe Kirby and Mike are like, Mike Bobo, are like, look, here's where our deficiencies are and where they are.
Right.
We're going to try to cover those up until we can get the guys we need to in here. Because I think it really wasn't about all him and the plays that he called. The execution or the non-execution of some of this stuff in big moments, it just hurts you, man. And so
right.
I have no issues. I know some people are hitting you up and they agree with you because there's a long-standing history
right.
with Mike Bobo for a lot of Georgia fans, and I understand that. This is his second tenure. So the first tenure, many of you blamed him every game. This tenure, you're going, well, Kirby, I love Kirby, so he's going to be okay. He's fine.
I still think Todd Monken was better.
He now, is, because he won two chips.
2020, I mean, yes, it was a COVID year, and some Georgia fans go, they don't give any, a pass for COVID, but you know that roster wasn't the same. And this year, that was JT Daniels, by the way. He had a great connection with Stetson Bennett and Carson Beck. Great arm. I mean, you could argue measurables are better than Stetson Bennett's, but there's that, you know, something you can't quantify, the heart, the toughness, the things that, you know, that Stetson was able to do. But Stetson was surrounded by better players. Carson Beck had Brock Bowers for 1 year, and certainly, you know, McConkey, and then they moved on. And there was, subsequently, the receiver core wasn't as good. Ironically, and this goes back to why I'm not a fan of Bobo, use the tight ends. Remember that week I was screaming, use the tight ends? And when you use the tight ends, good things seem to happen because those guys can actually catch the ball, unlike the scholarship receivers. Getting back to the initial problem today, what's up with Bobo? The rumor was, Buck Ballou puts it out there, that he's going to be stepping down. Rusty Manziel joined us from Dogs HQ. Here's what he had to say about the rumor.
He's recruiting in Florida. Matter of fact, Carl, you may not like this. He is seeing Texas quarterback commit bailed at an American Heritage High School as of about an hour ago. Mm. Yes, I'm sorry.
Don't
sorry to bring that news to you.
Yeah, that's Howard. Okay.
He's out recruiting like everybody else. You know, I don't get into too many personal details, but let me further tell you about what I heard today. He didn't go to his son's senior football banquet last night because he's on the road recruiting. Now, if I'm planning to retire next week, I'm going to make my son's senior football banquet. So there's a few notes in there with that. There's a lot of questions. Obviously, the Georgia offense did not have a great year. It didn't go the way people wanted it to. I think you saw the answer from Kirby Smart. They went out and got wide receivers. They didn't go out and get guys. They went out and beat people for guys. What does that mean in today's world? They went out and outspend people to get wide receivers. They have All-Americans coming in from the high school level, and they have two targets that were major, major targets for big boys coming in. You know, Noah Thomas, Zachariah Brandt, these guys coming in. So, you never say never. And obviously there can be changes. But what I have to answer for today was that report. And with that report, I can 1,000% say Mike Bobo has no plans to retire. He's not dealing with health issues. He has some health issues at Colorado State. Everything I know with Osteen, that particular, you know, issue he was dealing with has gotten a lot better over the years, and he's back to, you know, coaching ball every day and not have any kind of setback. He has no limitations. I think that, and I haven't heard the entire interview, so I'm just going to say what was told. He doesn't have trouble, and he's not on a golf cart at practice. I mean, this guy is a huge golfer and football and those types of things. So, you know, when someone comes like that and brings a report like that, I have to answer for it. So on my end, I can tell you with my sources, 1,000% not true.
That's great reporting by Rusty. And he did something that he says, and he's right, you shouldn't do. I am not going to tell you privately what's going on with the guy unless I absolutely have to. It's nobody's business. Mike Bobo's son had a banquet. But, Mike, that gives you context to a situation where you go, hey, this guy's about to leave the program, and here's why. Well, what's going on? Man, he's got health issues. Matter of fact, son's banquet was last night. Doesn't make sense. So he give that to you to just give you an idea of, like, here's what I'm hearing. That's a great job by our man Rusty Manziel. And like I said, for me, I think Georgia has bigger fish to fry,
right,
with how they get this right so they can be in this game next year, because I expected them to be here this year. I'll be honest with you.
Again, some of the stuff, and like I don't always, and you know, I'm on record, you know, I've talked about it for years now about Mike Bobo, run the damn ball. And if you can't run the ball because you're not strong in the trenches, okay. But I thought Alabama's defense was not the 85 Bears. That was a team you could run on, and you could look at the statistics, and teams did. They gave up around over 137 yards a game. Georgia certainly could have set their tone. Trevor Etienne, to me, that's another one. Like, in hindsight, did you maximize Trevor Etienne's skill set? I don't think you did. And I know it's the chicken and the egg argument, if the offensive line can't get guys off the line, but still, the commitment to it, and were you too sluggish to get the next man up? I don't know. Kirby, and Georgia fans are so used to being spoiled because they've been the elite. And now in this very, very strange college football world, not strange, it's just the playing field has been leveled by the transfer portal. That's how Notre Dame is here. Notre Dame just got a quarterback they didn't have a year ago. Mm. He just led them to a championship. He's tough, got knocked out of a game, kind of, came back in and beats Penn State. They've got a great defensive front. Can Notre Dame do, and we'll talk more about that coming up next, Notre Dame was more physical than Georgia. It's not that complicated. Notre Dame physically beat your butt
they did.
Down there in New Orleans. And so that's something that Kirby's got to fix.
Yes. And see, to me, that's more concerning. One of the things Rusty said to us, it's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The non-ability to tackle consistently. You don't see that with Kirby's teams.
Right.
Physicality up front, Mike. That's what they hang their hat on. You don't see that on Kirby. So those are things to me that you fix, and all of a sudden this thing looks completely different. If you get decent play by Gunnar Stockton, you don't even have to get outstanding play. Just because we've seen Georgia quarterbacks do that and win.
So that was the story today. That was kind of a non-story. And then the guy that broke the story then later on goes on Twitter and says, man, I sure hope these rumors aren't true. Well, you freaking started the rumors, man. That's a unique chapter in social media. That said, it is Dukes and Bell, guys, live at Twin Peaks here in Buckhead. This hour of the show, by the way, brought to you by our buddies at B-Dubs, Buffalo Wild Wings. Happy hour now and every Monday through Friday, 3 to 6 at B-Dubs. Carl, we got some other news. Real quick, it would be a strong arm story, sort of 2.0. And something that you and I guess, we knew it, and a lot of Braves guys that cover the team knew it, but I guess Braves Nation didn't know that, well, A.J. Minter was probably not likely to be coming back, and we had heard maybe going down to Texas trying to shot down there. The New York Mets signed A.J. Minter to a two-year, $22 million deal with an opt-out after 1 year.
Not bad for him. And again, if you maximize the situation, you know, you can pick up that extra chump, that extra bread, should I say. If you don't, you opt out. I just feel like it went under the radar. Turtle, did you want to add something to this? Because we've been talking about all these other moves. We've been talking about the infield and how to improve the outfield. We hadn't focused really on the bullpen, even though Alex Anthopoulos came on and told us, you know, hey, I'm going to pick up some other arms.
You're going to do it on the cheap. Look, he's going to go Groupon shopping, maybe even after pitchers and catchers report, Chris.
Yeah, just real quick before we go to break, guys, even more breaking news coming down. Really positive for the Hawks. Steve Koonin did not lead us astray. Jalen Johnson has been upgraded to questionable for tomorrow.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
That's good.
He's at least on the comeback trail, which is huge news for the Hawks.
Well, you asked the question. We talked about it when you were off the other day dealing with your throat about, like, when are they going to put him, like, to a longer a declaration of what exactly is going on with Jalen Johnson, because he'd missed, like, five games as far as day-to-day and this and that. But, yeah, you got to have Jalen Johnson back there. I want to see him make a run, Carl. Celtics are coming up, then the Knicks.
Yes.
And then, you know, if you beat those teams, I just love to see something where Landry Fields could go to Ressler and say, come on, man, let's dive in. Let's make a run. Because there's, as Steve pointed out, there's just a few wins separating us. Literally, from the good news is you can get up to fourth, and the bad news is we can fall back out into the play-in game. But let's make a run and see if we can get some chemistry before the trade deadline.
Yeah, and look, the way things are going right now, obviously things could change. If you are in that, you know, 9-10, whatever, Mike, you're playing the Cavs or the Celtics in the first round.
Then you need some front court help to get more physical.
And I just don't – you can position yourself to be in a better spot. By the way, Onyeka Okongwu is going to join us at 6:20.
Yes, you'll hear B-Mac, Brian McFadden at 6, and then 00, who's been killing it for the Hawks, coming up. Coming up next, though, do the Irish have what it takes to stop the Buckeyes? Can they do to them what Michigan did? Some guys say yes. We like the under in this game. We'll dive in next.
It's time for the Road to the College Football Playoff.
I think it's great. That's really good.
On Dukes and Bell.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is Dukes and Bell, guys, and we are getting ready for the Natty, Carl. Ohio State, Notre Dame. A lot of Buckeye fans, a lot of Irish fans are rolling in. Had some Irish fans when we first got here, first couple hours of the show.
Yeah.
Hanging out, and they were pragmatic. They weren't like these, I think we're going to win 400-5. No, they were like, you know, they know that there's limitations, you know, offensively. The wide receiver play does certainly not match what Ohio State's rolling out there. But then again, Ohio State's wide receiver. Carl, if I told you that Texas was going to shut him down and they still win the game?
Crazy.
I mean, that's just one of those things. When you get into the matchups, individual matchups, the defense, can you certainly step up and maybe create some of the matchup issues that Michigan was able to do? I guess you can. But I just felt, man, Jeremiah Smith, I just can't see him getting shut down two games in a row. Maybe I'm wrong. That if Chip Kelly's getting paid all this money, scheme him open. Now, the one thing in defense of Penn State, or I guess it's Chip Kelly, in the Penn State game, you know, it was more about, like, the physicality of the red zone. Everyone's thinking about that goal line stand. But if you go back and you watch some of these games with Jeremiah Smith, Texas was double-teaming him. And it was almost like they're willing to let guys go free.
That's right.
And not let Jeremiah Smith beat them. Well, Notre Dame used the same approach.
I think Marcus Freeman, I don't think he's underrated, Mike. I think people realize how good of a defensive coach he is. He had his guys ready to play, obviously, against Penn State, but this offense is much more dynamic, to your point. I think, though, you have to pick your poison here. And what I mean by that is, are you willing to go into this game and say, Will Howard beat us?
Right.
Or we shutting the best wide receiver down in maybe college football? And I'm willing to double and you know, play guys over the top and do whatever it takes, like Texas did, and say, Will Howard, you got to find other guys to beat us. And I think if you go about it that way, because the game plan for Texas was right. The problem was the damn offense, don't get me started,
I know.
Was the issue. So can you do that, and then can you score enough points? Because you brought up the Riley kid, and Leonard Riley, like, he's good, Mike, but I don't know if they can make enough explosive plays to beat Ohio State.
You know, we were talking about yesterday, Riley Leonard's a guy that's going to have to, you know, be bulletproof.
Oh, reverse switch that.
Yeah, Riley Leonard. Scratch it, reverse it, as Willy Wonka would say. But, no, we talked about, you know, Notre Dame's got to play clean. And Ohio State does have a little bit more margin for error. It was funny. My buddy Aki was here today with Hoff and the whole crew over here at Twin Peaks and Bucket. He goes, man, that Ryan Day, he's got the most punchable face. I go, well, I think Lou Holtz would agree with you on that one, and you know, amongst others. But you know what? Maybe in that, and everyone said, I know it's the classic storyline's gotten lazy.
It has.
But Michigan, well, they learned a lot. I will never in a million years understand how you lose for the fourth time in a row to your arch rival, because what?
It's time for the Road to the College Football Playoff.
I think it's great. That's really good.
On Dukes and Bell.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is Dukes and Bell, guys, and we are getting ready for the Natty, Carl. Ohio State, Notre Dame. A lot of Buckeye fans, a lot of Irish fans are rolling in. Had some Irish fans when we first got here, first couple hours of the show.
Yeah.
Hanging out, and they were pragmatic. They weren't like these, I think we're going to win 400-5. No, they were like, you know, they know that there's limitations, you know, offensively. The wide receiver play does certainly not match what Ohio State's rolling out there. But then again, Ohio State's wide receiver. Carl, if I told you that Texas was going to shut him down and they still win the game?
Crazy.
I mean, that's just one of those things. When you get into the matchups, individual matchups, the defense, can you certainly step up and maybe create some of the matchup issues that Michigan was able to do? I guess you can. But I just felt, man, Jeremiah Smith, I just can't see him getting shut down two games in a row. Maybe I'm wrong. That if Chip Kelly's getting paid all this money,
yeah,
scheme him open. Now, the one thing in defense of Penn State, or I guess in Chip Kelly, in the Penn State game, you know, it was more about, like, the physicality of the red zone. Everyone's thinking about that goal line stand. But if you go back and you watch some of these games with Jeremiah Smith, Texas was double-teaming him. And it was almost like they're willing to let guys go free.
That's right.
And not let Jeremiah Smith beat them. Will Notre Dame use the same approach?
I think Marcus Freeman, I don't think he's underrated, Mike. I think people realize how good of a defensive coach he is. He had his guys ready to play, obviously, against Penn State, but this offense is much more dynamic, to your point. I think, though, you have to pick your poison here. And what I mean by that is, are you willing to go into this game and say, Will Howard beat us?
Right.
Or we shutting the best wide receiver down in maybe college football? And I'm willing to double and you know, play guys over the top and do whatever it takes, like Texas did, and say, Will Howard, you got to find other guys to beat us. And I think if you go about it that way, because the game plan for Texas was right. The problem was the damn offense, don't get me started,
I know.
Was the issue. So can you do that, and then can you score enough points? Because you brought up the Riley kid, and Leonard Riley, like, he's good, Mike, but I don't know if they can make enough explosive plays to beat Ohio State.
You know, we were talking about yesterday, Riley Leonard's a guy that's going to have to, you know, be bulletproof.
Oh, reverse switch that.
Yeah, Riley Leonard. Scratch it, reverse it, as Willy Wonka would say. But, no, we talked about, you know, Notre Dame's got to play clean. And Ohio State does have a little bit more margin for error. It was funny. My buddy Aki was here today with Hoff and the whole crew over here at Twin Peaks and Bucket. He goes, man, that Ryan Day, he's got the most punchable face. I go, well, I think Lou Holtz would agree with you on that one, and, you know, amongst others. But you know what? Maybe in that, and everyone said, I know it's the classic storyline's gotten lazy.
It has.
But Michigan, well, they learned a lot. I will never in a million years understand how you lose for the fourth time in a row to your arch rival, because what? You thought you were that much better? You couldn't maximize at home your advantage in the skill positions? I mean, that's a mediocre offense and a good defense at Michigan. But, man, and like Alabama learned themselves earlier, later this year in the bowl game. But getting back to Ohio State, Henderson, Judkins running the football. It's the physicality. Notre Dame will do the Michigan things, and I think that it'll be close at the half, but I think the depth will kind of wear them down, and then for us that have bet it, cover that 8.5 in the second half.
Let's talk about Ryan Day for a second, because all the pressure's on him. Marcus Freeman does not have – listen, there's an you do have pressure to get in a game like this and win. But he doesn't have the pressure that Ryan Day has been building. This has been building. So you can't beat your rival for the last 4 years. You're beating everybody else in the Big Ten, and that is why Ohio State fans will tell you we can't go get anybody else because he's so damn good against everybody else. And now you have a chance to finish the race, right, to win the championship. And if Ryan Day, for whatever reason, gets out-coached in this game, right, Mike, by Marcus Freeman, I'm serious. You got to start rethinking this thing like, okay, it was great to get here. But it doesn't mean anything, Ohio State fans, if you do not win it. And that's where this is at. So for me, going into Monday night, I'm like, look, I don't know if you have to do anything outrageous. Ohio State is loaded, guys. They've got players, NFL guys all over the field. It is Georgia a few years ago. They paid for it, but that's the nature of the business now. So can you go finish this and put Ryan Day on that pedestal as one of the best coaches in college football? I do not think he's the best. The guy that's the best is down there in Athens. But he would be that winning right. a national championship with his record in the Big Ten and the things he's been able to accomplish. But he's got all the pressure on him.
All the resources, you know, we've talked about the millions of dollars in NIL. Nobody spent more on it than Ohio State did this year. It's kind of like that line that Saban dropped on the Texas A&M squad under Jimbo Fisher. Bought and paid for, that whole class. But in this case, Notre Dame, it's also bringing in the assistants, Chip Kelly. You know, and that's why I sometimes wonder, are they getting their bang for the buck on Chip Kelly when I watch some of the game plan? The way they rolled through Oregon. I got to be honest, if you go back and look at the Cotton Bowl, Texas gets beat by Ohio State, and I don't think Ohio State played their best game. Not even close. I think there were some sequences where guys misplays. I think, you talked about it earlier. Do you trust the quarterback? Do you trust Will Howard to be able to deliver the football? Think about this. The two starting quarterbacks for the national championship game, one played for Duke, one played for Kansas State, and here they are. And it's not all about the things we get into, the recruiting, the slam dunk five. So all these guys were both highly touted. I respect Riley Leonard's toughness because I saw him basically on one leg trying to get back on the field in Tallahassee, and the coaches have said you can't go back in.
Well, I thought if he did, they might have won that game.
Right, which I'm telling you, they would have. Yeah, they would have. But this is about all the worker bees. Who's going to be the guy who steps up? I think a lot of folks nationally, the money's on Ohio State. That's where the line has dropped down a little bit. It was a 9.5, came down a point. So maybe some Notre Dame money's coming. And speaking of Notre Dame money, these guys are, by the way, those guys are throwing down. Those guys are drinking top shelf over there.
Oh,
the bar.
I know.
Not to use a small sample size, Chris, but we were talking earlier about when Notre Dame comes to town, the bartenders win.
Yeah.
Because they are well-heeled, as we like to say.
Well, they came with big stacks.
And speaking of big stacks, our man Hasselhoff, who got the suite for the semifinal a couple years ago when Ohio State and Georgia went toe-to-toe. Remember, Marvin Harrison Jr. gets knocked out of the game with a concussion. And then at the end of the game, they start blitzing. Georgia really gets after C.J. Stroud.
It was a great game.
You know what? It's arguably one of the best all-around football games I've been to, college and pro. So I was asking Jerry, because he was looking for a suite. Every single suite was sold out. Couldn't get your hands on it. $100,000.
Yeah. It's listen, it's a hot ticket. It's great for our city, and the money has already been spent because those tickets are gone. But, this is one of those things that you think your team's going to get there, and then, Mike, as soon as these become available, they're like hotcakes. They're coming off the table. So it doesn't surprise me. And, by the way, if it was Georgia or if it was Texas, it'd be the same way. I mean, like, I just feel like that's just that. This is that game, and it's going on in our city this year. So I love it. What's up, Chris?
I can confirm everything you're saying, by the way, because I had to battle traffic in the middle of Midtown today to go to a bougie hotel, one of the biggest in the city,
to pick up
a credential for a show I'm doing tomorrow. And I was battling the elements with Jersey Mike, and we were fighting for our
battling
lives.
Battling the elements? It was sunny in 61.
We were fighting for our lives in the middle of Midtown Atlanta.
Yeah, I mean, you're making this out to be like
all right, for those who don't follow,
like he was walking 8 miles in the snow. Right, here.
This is like when you were a kid. I had to walk uphill both ways. So you're doing a show tomorrow at the World Congress Center.
Correct.
Where they have this big national championship palooza like the SEC fans.
It's fun, by the
Correct.
Way.
Correct.
I mean, you won't have time to enjoy it, but it's fun.
No. But to get in, you need a credential.
Yeah.
Fine.
Yes.
But they decided, whoever decided, oh, no, we're not going to put your credentials at the actual event location. We're going to put it at a hotel in the middle of Midtown.
They're trying to mitigate traffic, Chris. Come on.
This is this younger generation, Carl. They're just soft. You got to toughen up. You got to buck up, kiddie boy. I mean, you're getting paid the big bucks for this event, aren't you? Okay, it is Dukes and Bell. Jerry. Hey, Jerry. What do they want for a suite? How much do they want for a suite for Monday? $100,000. Regular size suite or big suite?
See, this is how you know Jerry's got money. Jerry said that very casually, didn't he? This is how you know Jerry's got money. Anybody else would be like, dog, they want $100,000 for a damn suite. Jerry was like, they just want $100,000. That's how you know you got money, Jerry.
By the way, Jerry, one of the classic wingmen of all time. A lot of our audience, Chris, has got to know him over the years. We call him Hasselhoff because he bears a bit of a resemblance. But this man is smooth. He's kind of got this crazy Eastern Ohio, almost like Western Pennsylvania, sort of Joe Namath type accent, Carl. So the chicks just go bananas because Jerry's like, where are you from? You're a nice-looking girl. You know, just that Joe Namath kind of vibe. But Jerry did have the suite for that Ohio State game against Georgia. Man, that was something. That was one that, you remember, came down to the missed field goal and all that nonsense. But Georgia, if you are a Georgia fan, you know, that was arguably the toughest game that you played until Alabama the year before.
Yeah.
I mean, then you get to the championship. You go through TCU like poop through a goose, go through Notre Dame to get to Alabama, that championship game in Indianapolis. And then is this one where was Texas the toughest out for Ohio State? And now Ohio State just rolls through Notre Dame.
I'm not going to say they're going to roll through. Notre Dame's physical, man.
Oh, yeah, and physicality keeps you in the game. Defense travels to
your
point.
Yeah, I'm not going to say they rolled through them. Like, there's a difference. We talk about these games from two different angles, right? Covering the bets, right, which are what they believe a team is, you know, going to beat another team by. And then you talk about just, like, who can win the game flat out. Do you think Notre Dame can go in and win this game? There's not a Notre Dame fan that's coming into the city this weekend and, like, we can't win.
Right.
But styles make fights. I think that's the problem here for me.
I think if you're a Notre Dame fan, you're feeling like, I know all this, and we get it. There's a lot of pushback outside the SEC because the SEC has dominated. They've just dominated.
18 years.
Until Michigan stepped up last year. But, I mean, if you beat Georgia and you're Notre Dame, you feel, you know, let's be honest, you know, 10 feet tall and bulletproof.
Yeah.
But we realize as Georgia fans here, this wasn't even close to Kirby's best team. Matter of fact, the team that lost the championship to Bama was better. The team that lost the SEC championship to Bama a year ago was better than this team.
Yep.
But, you know, but still, that doesn't play nationally. It's still the big run. Look, Ohio State fans are chirping about beating Tennessee.
Whoop-de-doo.
And a lot of Georgia, let's be honest, Tennessee fans knew the limitations of that squad going in with Nico Iamaleva and the fact there was a ceiling there. But, look, I will say this about the Buckeyes. In fairness to them, and I know this might irk some Georgia fans, Carl, we just talked about that championship game, or the semifinal in the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. If Marvin Harrison Jr. doesn't get knocked out,
they might lose.
You can't blitz C.J. Stroud the way Georgia did because he's going to find Harrison Jr., who was pretty much unstoppable until he got knocked out of the game.
Yeah, listen, I agree with that. It's the same argument Alabama fans have when Minshew went down.
And Jameson Williams.
Yes, right. It's the same argument. But, you know, you still got to finish the game. You got to play with the guys that are out there. I just hope we get an entertaining game.
Right, not to mention, Georgia lost their tight end. Georgia was dealing with a lot of injuries in that Ohio State game. If you want to go back and look at it, I'm not trying to tick off Bulldog fans. I'm just saying this is the mindset of the Buckeyes. They're due. It's their time.
They
like
feel that
the way Michigan fans kind of felt probably going last year.
And they do feel that way. And that's why I'm telling you, Ryan Day has to win this game.
He has to.
He has to win.
He's not going to get fired now. Had he lost to Tennessee, he'd have gotten fired. Real quick, before we wrap this segment up, Brian McFadden's coming up, and we're also going to talk to Onyeka Okongwu. He's coming up at 6:20. He's been red hot for the Hawks. What do you think? Unders the play?
For the game?
24-21, 24-17.
Yeah, listen, I think both defenses are really good. And you know, if Ohio State, look, beating Texas, remember, they beat them by 14, but it took a strip sack scoop score to do that. That's a 7-point game.